Chuck and Chernoff.
Na 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 na.
It's Chuck and Chernoff.
It's 3 o'clock on the dot. You know what that means. It's time for Matt Lanter and the King. Yeah.
Na 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 na.
It's Chuck and Chernoff.
Na 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 na.
It's Chuck and Chernoff on the fan.
Driving home, Atlanta is a traffic jam. But we got Chuck and Chernoff on the fan.
Na 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff. Na 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 na. It's Chuck and Chernoff on the fan.
Well, we're getting really close at this point. Carlos Medina subbing in one more day for Matt Chernoff. He'll be back from vacation.
Hello!
But speaking of back from vacation, 5 days on the beach, it's one Chuck Oliver who looks considerably more refreshed, ready to take on a college football season that's now right around the corner. And you missed a ton while you were out. Normally, July 4th weekend, we don't really worry about a whole lot of things happening.
Yeah!
No big signings, maybe. Okay, there was a minor trade. Every now and then, like, LeBron will leave a town that he's playing in. But we actually had monster moves going on all around the NBA. They included last night when the word on Dwayne Wade, him moving on. And obviously, he takes the money in Chicago that he was looking for. They got him close enough. And it almost kind of mimics the Al Horford deal where, yeah, the team wanted him back, but there were certain levels that they were willing to go to, and in both cases, both teams said, yeah, maybe not that level.
I don't much care about Dwayne Wade leaving Miami. I don't think that I'm wrong for that. And I'm not even saying from a personal standpoint, because I live in Atlanta, I'm a Hawks fan. I'm saying on the sports landscape, I have heard people talking about Dwayne Wade leaving Miami, where he won three titles.
Three
right?
titles there.
And went to the finals two other times, if I got the tally correct. He was a great, great player, and I don't even know who the challenges would be. I'm trying to think of Miami Heat draft picks. I don't think any of them would compare to Dwayne Wade.
No, because since 2004, that entire draft class, where all of them now, for the most part, outside of Darko Milicic, actually, I take it back, Darko has a ring as well from the Pistons. But that entire top of that class has been what the NBA has been defined by for the last 10 years, and they've now all switched teams.
So again, great player and achieved literally as much as you can, three titles down in Miami. But this happens across sports all the time in all sports. The old dude at the end takes a little more money to go somewhere else. Brett Favre leaving the Packers.
He got paid in Minnesota.
Yeah, that was bigger than Dwayne Wade leaving the Heat. Now, again, that's no disrespect to Dwayne Wade, but I've heard people talking about this story as if some of the pillars of professional sports in North America have been shaken. And I understand the full context of D. Wade leaving, but this happens. This is a common story all the time in pro sports.
See, you say this, and I think we're used to these sorts of disappointments happening where certain guys decide, hey, I'm not going to do it here anymore. You know, everybody goes to Deion Sanders. Hey, he decided, all right, this is what's going to happen. You know what? I'm going to go ring chase over in San Francisco, and then I'm going to go do it in Dallas, and you have to watch me for about the next 5 to 7 years put together the Hall of Fame career. We're used to things leaving Atlanta. Miami, outside of, okay, LeBron James was almost like a rental. Dwayne Wade was theirs, and I think
it'd be like if Dan Marino had left and go to play with the Jags for 2 years.
Something monstrous like that. And so, you know, on the sports landscape, I was joking around about it on Twitter. You know, there are such things as, like, you know, the kicks to the beanbag. Okay, Kevin Durant, that's a pretty high kick to the beanbag.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade, a pretty big kick to the beanbag. It almost makes Al Horford feel like, all right, that happened.
Well, you know, the thing about Deion Sanders was he was just entering his prime. His second punt return ever he took to the house.
he was good the minute he showed up.
And he showed up, I'm not even kidding, go back and we can check this. I think he signed on a Thursday or a Wednesday, and that next Sunday, they put him in man coverage and said, all right, go get that guy. And you don't really have to coach. I mean, you can coach technique, but there's no scheme to coach in man coverage.
Yeah.
And so Deion's like, I'm good. There's no scheme other than right return, left return, middle return. And so Deion was ready to roll. But he was only 5 years into his career in Atlanta. He still had his best days ahead of him, including one weird season in Dallas when, I don't know the exact number, I bet he caught 45 passes.
1996.
So Deion still had all these days ahead of him. I'm talking about Emmitt Smith taking the money and going wearing a Cardinals uniform. I'm talking about, I'm not, you know, I don't want to generate a list of of who's the guy? I'd never look right in that uniform. I don't care about
that. We'll take
your calls. No. I'm talking about the old dude who was an all-timer who took the money. So what? It's a business, man. He went to Chicago because they offered him, was it $10 million more?
$10 million more. The offers reportedly from Miami were 2 for $40, and he was looking for 2 for $50 in part. And this is where, you know, it's been my opinion on this for the whole day. He wanted the Kobe Bryant deal. The, we're not going to win the championship, but I'll be the guy. Let's do a couple more years, but you're going to pay me at a level that I really should have been paid at. Because remember, for years, he was the one who sacrificed. I'll take the $18 million.
Yeah.
These other guys can take the $21 million, and I'll take the step back.
This is the comeback.
But you better take care of me on the back end. And once that wasn't going to happen, you talk about jumping out of town.
Yeah, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon had a purple dinosaur on his jersey
that
his
was
final
a
year
sad
or two.
Time in Toronto.
And so, again, why? Because Houston, who saw him every single day, said, wow, that shimmy is not the same. That fadeaway is not the same. That, you know, dip and then scoop under, that is not the same. And so we value at this. Well, all Toronto saw was the name. Hakeem Olajuwon, we'll pay you. And so that's what happens at the end of sports careers. The team that has seen you forever and ever and ever up front, they see every little slippage of that game. And with Dwayne Wade, it is slight. He was their best player in the playoffs as recently as a month ago. But give me the money.
Let's bring it back to here, because you were on a beach. How did you hear about Al Horford initially and how
well,
it all played out?
You said 5 days on the beach. 4 days on the beach, 1 day at sea. We'll
get into this later in the show. Yes.
I had my iPad down there, and we had a house sitter. And so, in fact, Dave Hooker,
who was in during the Chuck Oliver show.
Yeah, my buddy from 1180, the VLZ up in Knoxville, he came down. He and his wife came down on Thursday night, and then they house sat for us while he filled in. So he was going to pick up, you know, extra work here and not have to pay for hotels or anything. And so I would just check in with Dave, hey, how's everything going at the house? And then I saw the headlines that Al Horford was going to sign with Boston for a gargantuan amount of money, that there was no way in the world the Hawks were going to pay Al Horford that. Why? Because they've seen him every day, and they have seen the slight changes in his game. Instead of operating 12 to 15, he now likes to operate 15 to 18. Al Horford's still a really good player. He's not, was it 4-107 or 4-114?
4-113.
Okay.
The max for him was 4-113.
There's not a chance in the world the Hawks were going to do that. None. And by the way, these NBA contracts are guaranteed. So
every dollar.
So Al Horford understands that over the next 48 months, he's getting $113 million pre-tax from the Boston Celtics.
And you and I and Matt talked about this quite a bit. The idea that, okay, Al Horford might go somewhere else. We talked about Golden State. What if he goes somewhere else to get a chance to chase a title? What if he does this kind of a role?
Was the scenario. He'll leave Atlanta. They'll pursue him, but he'll leave because he wants to win.
And as you put it in this morning's email, we didn't expect him to, oh, look, so I can make more money staying in Atlanta, but not on the yearly, and I'm not going to get a title. I'll go just take all the money.
The scenario where Al Horford was going to sign for the money was signing with Atlanta for the money. That the consolation prize, I know I'm not going to win a title, but I can get paid. That was him signing with the Hawks. There was no scenario where Al Horford was like, pay me, bitch. And it didn't involve a ring. And by the way.
Save that, by the way.
He's not winning a title in Boston.
No.
There's not a chance in the world he wins a title in Boston.
Not the way they're constructed. And here's the thing that
he looks at David West, by the way. Everybody looks at David West, who gave up $11 million to get my ring in San Antonio. Everybody looks at David West as, you chump. You got taken. And now David West, isn't he chasing like a roster spot with the Warriors?
He just took $1.5 million to sign with them.
Oh, good Lord. You know what this is? When you get down at the blackjack table? And you just can't leave.
It's just one more hand. I got to see if I can get this thing
so
done.
David West is like, I got to turn this thing. I got to give me a ring.
Somebody had a very funny tweet the other day where it would be 2016 with the Warriors, 2017 with the Cavaliers, and then David West would invent a time machine in 2022 to go back to the 96 Bulls so that he would get a chance to win that thing. But one of the things that you missed out on because you were gone, it was amazing to see all of that play out and to see – okay, here are the top three for Al Horford. And immediately I'm thinking, okay, which one is going to offer him that ring-chasing opportunity? okay, there's the Celtics are in the lead, then the Wizards, then the Hawks. You talk about it just being a situation of saying, okay, if you're not going to respect me to pay me this maximum, Washington will do it, D.C. will do it, and so will Boston, and I'll go chase that.
The scenario was he leaves Atlanta to chase the ring, or he re-signs with Atlanta because just break me off. Give me my cash. There was no scenario where he just, it was a cash grab, but he left Atlanta. That which
not
tells
me that way,
which tells me the Hawks didn't want him.
And you know what? And this reminds me completely of this. We talked about it earlier, what Dwayne Wade was looking for. Kobe Bryant was going to play his final 2 years in L.A. because of the amount of service time he'd been there. He was able to command $28 million mm-hmm. per year. Now, the problem was that ate up so many of their opportunities in free agency 3 years ago, not 2 years ago when after they were terrible, and not last year, not this year. That ate up so many opportunities for other guys to come in there and get paid some serious cash. At least moving forward, you don't have a 36-year-old Al Horford who's going to be making $34 million.
I promise you, there was a time over the last two seasons when Mitch Kupchak was privately thinking, retire.
Don't come back from that injury.
Get arrested. Go to jail. Do dog fighting. Just something where you don't show up. Because if he doesn't show up, you're off the hook.
Yeah.
If he doesn't show up for work, then you're out from under. The Atlanta Falcons, they got out from under when Mike Vick went to jail. Now, they still the signing bonus because they'd already paid it, but all the money they were committed to, it immediately came off the books going forward. I promise you, as callous as that is, there was a time when Mitch Kupchak was thinking, I wish there was a scenario where he just didn't show up anymore.
A little bit later tonight, we will have the Braves and the Cubs. Apparently, storms in the area, Chuck, and so that 8:05 start time is going to be a little iffy. We'll see how that ends up.
So we get a rain delay show.
Well, we don't. I don't believe we have to worry about that, right? As long as we hand it on off to them, it becomes the rain delay show, and they start taking the phone calls and everything else,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we the audience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it's the callers. It's not the show.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the callers that call in from there during the rain delay show.
Can you speak up a little louder?
You get a little bit of the Don Larsons of the world who do come in.
All right. A good man.
Well, thank you. All right, coming up next, it appears that we must give credit where credit is due to this Falcons offensive coordinator. We'll do that next, coming up right here with the Chuck and Chernoff Show. I'm Carlos Medina. He's Chuck Oliver. This is 680 The Fan.
Okay.
Tell me if you had this scenario happen to you. Might have even happened to you yesterday. You got home. We had those violent storms all across the Atlanta area, into Johns Creek, into Alpharetta. You take a look at your roof and you say, it just seems to be something a little bit awkward with it. You go inside the house and maybe even see the water spot and you know, I got to call somebody. I got to get this taken care of. Let me tell you about Hicks Roofing. You can check them out at hicksroofing.net. 36 years in the Atlanta market. How do you end up staying in business that long? Well, first off, you provide a different level of service. When you talk about what Hicks is able to provide for you, it is that different level of service. They always talk about it. They're simply a more experienced roofer.
I used them.
You've used them as well. Yeah, you've done them as well.
I used them when I had to have the roof right before I could sell my house. The inspection said you had to fix these things. Those are the people I use.
Those are the great people you heard. You heard it just from Chuck. Here's one of the important things. When you call Hicks Roofing, they come on out. They get a tech up on your roof. They take a look at what's going on. They diagnose the issues. And then when you get your quote, no hidden costs involved. What you see is what you get. Check them out. HicksRoofing.net. You can also give them a call as well. 770-432-1169. Hicks Roofing, a simply more experienced roofer.
Pay me, bitch.
I don't know if you're going to get what you want by being so just strong.
That was a quote. It was a quote.
You made up the quote based on your own life experiences.
A quote I projected onto Al Horford.
Right.
Yeah, I thought if Al Horford left, he was going to take less to get a ring.
If you were playing the role of Al Horford.
Instead, Al Horford said, pay $12 more than I'm getting here. After making all this money for, was it, nine years?
9 years.
It's like, yeah, I'm leaving, but it's a cash grab is why I'm leaving. By the way, I don't begrudge Al Horford.
No.
I don't want him to have ants in his bathroom. I don't want him to not be able to pay his bills.
You don't want him to suffer one of those shoulder injuries again or anything? Just
No. Take care of you and yours for a very long time. So I don't begrudge him at all. I'm saying how blindsided I was by Al Horford leaving and it being a cash grab.
All right, coming up in about 10 minutes, once and for all, I swear I attempt to end this problem for Chuck Oliver. Hashtag bullpen is worn out.
It says bullpen is.
Bull penis strong.
Hashtag bullpen is worn out. So we'll do that in about 10 minutes. But credit where credit is due. I'm not anti-Kyle Shanahan. I know you're not either. We're critical of what we see called. We're critical of some of the attitude as a guy who just comes across as I know everything. But he certainly is right on this particular issue right now.
Yeah, Roddy White is still unemployed. And so that tells me that whatever I think about Kyle Shanahan or you or anyone else, and we all needed more yards and more points. That's the bottom line. And, you know, in the NFL, it really is about putting together drives. You know, Kurt Warner back in the day, that's not real for most NFL teams. And so we needed more yards. We needed more points. And we didn't get it last year. So I have my opinion of Kyle Shanahan. But as far as Roddy White goes, which became sort of the lightning rod discussion for everybody last year. Why aren't you throwing to Roddy more? And then why'd you throw to him three straight plays to open the Colts game? And why? Roddy White going, why? Why don't you throw me the ball? And then Roddy, with a lot of comments, many of them on this very station since the season ended, and it was all pointed towards Kyle Shanahan. There was far less criticism of, who's the DC, Richard Smith?
Yeah.
I had to say who... And I was pretty sure.
But we're looking at him and saying, hey, it's Coach Bro's defense, but Richard Smith executes that defense.
We didn't complain about Dan Quinn. We didn't complain about Brian Cox. We didn't complain about Smith. We didn't complain about any of these guys. The only coach, there are four people listening right now who know who the offensive line coach is.
I would guess Alex Gibbs, but that's not it.
Mike Tice with a pencil behind his ear?
Yeah, something like that.
That it was Kyle Shanahan. He was the one guy because we don't like his dad, and we think his dad is who the hell are you to question me and smarmy and attitude and hey, look, his son's the same way, and we're not scoring points, and he's not using Roddy. So after this 6.5 million person defense in Atlanta of Roddy White, what is today? July 7th. We open training camp in 3 weeks. 31 other NFL teams have evaluated Roddy White the exact same way Kyle Shanahan did.
And that's what's unfortunate, because even when you're an aging veteran, you typically get a shot in training camp with a lot of teams, or somebody will bring you in and might work you out the first part of training camp and then say, okay, this isn't going to work out by the third preseason game, give you an option to catch on with somebody else. That's not even happening. And even the ones we talked about, Tampa, okay, Tampa makes a lot of sense. No phone call from what I understand, no signing of any kind of contract with Tampa as of right now. If there's one thing that Kyle Shanahan has always had the criticism of his offense is that it's a ton of yards, but the points aren't there. And so last year, I think we were so frustrated in, hey, they're driving in between the 20s. They're making things happen, but they're not finishing drives. Those points that you talk about that are so important. And we kept thinking, well, if Roddy was an important component of this, that, you know, he knows how to find the end zone. Yep. They'll get in the end zone. Maybe it's different. Maybe it's the fact that the option across from Julio was not a big enough threat to take away some of that attention to Julio once he got in the red zone.
Yeah, I don't know the entire New York Jets coaching staff. I don't know if Roddy has a personal connection there. I don't know the entire coaching staff for the Jaguars. I know Roddy has a person, and by the way, the Jets and the Jags and the Eagles and everybody, they have said, Roddy, we'll go another direction. We'll find someone besides Roddy White. All of those teams have said no to Roddy White. But teams with a personal connection, you mentioned Tampa, Tennessee, personal connection. Minnesota Vikings, personal connection. There were some likely suspects for Roddy White. You know, when the Jets say, hey, we're going to sign three free agents and see if one of them makes the roster as a receiver, that's the Jets doing Jets business, and they evaluated from the outside. There's always that phone call to your former OC, to your former head coach, to your former position coach. Terry Rubisky, am I right? He's in Nashville?
Yeah, he left to be the receivers coach at Nashville now.
All right. Look, man, I promise you I can still do it.
I can still run. Just bring me in
all
for
right,
a workout.
We'll bring you into camp. And honestly, what is a one-year deal for – now, Roddy's got pride. And Roddy also has money. When you pair pride and money, you don't have to take scraps. But Roddy also wants to be on an NFL roster. So say he would sign a 2-year deal, which we all know would be basically a 1-year deal.
They'd call it $2.5 to $3 million, but it'd be $1 million basically.
All right,
it'd be $1.5 million after they did a little bit of work with
it. There you go. So a 2-year, $4 million contract with like $800,000 guaranteed and or whatever. Not a whole lot of money, and almost every team has money still remaining in the salary cap right now. Coach Trubisky, I promise you I can still do it. Just take me up there. You can use the stopwatch. You can have your fifth-string quarterback throw me balls, whatever. Even that hadn't happened.
You know, there is an
element. Even though I got for 10 years.
There's another element, though, here, and this is the one that I'm hoping more so this is what it is. Do you remember how it ended with Richard Seymour? Remember that about 3-4 years ago?
Oh, Richard Seymour said, I can still play,
but
I'm only going to play on my financial terms because to put my body through this, you come get me. All right, come get me. I'm not going to go looking for you.
And that was the big deal about Richard Seymour, that I've done enough things in this league that if I'm getting on the field at 33, 34 years old, it's going to be $5, $6 million. It's not going to be for the veteran minimum. And so I think there is that component with Roddy that, you know, there's a couple things here. One, I think he would actually be looking for, give me $3 million, let's make this happen. That, I think, is the first part to be very difficult to happen with anybody. But also, at his age, and this is the part that kind of hurts you as a Falcons fan, he is now a progress stopper. He becomes that guy.
Oh, he clogs up Justin Hardy getting on the field.
That takes reps away from the first round draft pick, the second round draft pick with these different teams. Now, right now, Roddy's a better player than them. He can get open. He knows more about the NFL and more about getting open and catching the football than any of those guys. But that's the thing that ends up happening is that, well, I don't want to waste a year of development with this player that I got to find out and make a decision long term about and give his snaps to a 33, 34 year old receiver who only has a year left in this league.
Yeah, if you want, you know, the clear example of where they decided to go versus Roddy White. And again, this is what we were just talking about with Al Horford. And Al Horford still has game.
Yeah.
Al Horford is going to be a starter, and I'm going to say the second leading scorer.
Yeah, he'll be 17
behind Bradley.
And 8 or 9 for them. Yeah. Well, Isaiah Thomas and Bradley along with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he'll be the second or third leading scorer. Forgot about Isaiah Thomas, best player on the team. I apologize. For a playoff team next year. So he's got game, and Boston's going to the playoffs. They just got better.
Yeah, they'll go to the second round, and we'll see what happens.
So there you go. That's Al Horford still has game, but Al Horford was looked at by his current employer, the Hawks, as we have seen every little regression. You know, if you look at yourself in the mirror every single day, you think, I'm going to the reunion tonight. I don't look any different than high school.
You know what? It's just a couple pounds. It's not that many.
Okay, yeah, go look at your student ID card from college.
Oh, no.
All right, because you get up every day and you look in the mirror and you think, yeah, I look the same. And then you look at your student ID from college or like your first driver's license. And when you immediately compare before and after, you see these differences. Well, that's the same thing with the Hawks. It's not Al Horford looking at himself. It's Coach Bood. It's whoever in the front office. It's their scouts looking at Al Horford, and they have seen every slight regression and change in his game, and he still can play pretty well, but not for whatever it takes above 113. It would have been like $140 million.
Five, and I think it's 143 is what the max number.
And the Hawks
number.
Put their hands up and went, Al, we love you. We're out. Well, it's the same sort of thing with Roddy White. They have seen every slight regression, and with Roddy, it's been pronounced. It's been pretty severe. So much so that they looked at Mohamed Sanu, whose career season, 56 catches for 790 yards. He's been in the league 4 years. He's averaged 38 catches a year, but he had a career year where he caught 56 for 700 plus yards. Look at Roddy White. Last year, 43 catches, 506 yards, and they looked at him and said, "Now we got to move on, bro.
That's an upgrade."
And because it wasn't just the numbers or the lack of production, they looked at him and said, "You can't play anymore." And 31 other NFL teams have said the same thing, including multiple teams where there are personal connections between Roddy and that coaching staff.
It's one of those things where, you know, we all get older. Our favorite players begin to get older. You start to see the wear and tear on them, and You know, hopefully at some point in training camp, somebody has an issue and Roddy White gets an opportunity from there. But if he doesn't, he's still going to go down as until Julio does his thing as perhaps the best receiver in Falcons history. All right, coming up in about 7 minutes, I'm going to make a case for the Atlanta Braves to spend some money on an outfielder who's an all-star for this upcoming offseason. But right now, Chuck, I want to start by letting you get a little bit into on your soapbox about how you're frustrated about the bullpen and the usage of the Braves bullpen. And then I know Matt always counters by telling you everybody does that, and you always say, well, I don't care about everybody else, I care about the Braves. I've actually got concrete information for you that I think will help lead you in a direction where you will now say, okay, I get how it's going and I get what's going on.
I really don't care about the Brewers or the Giants.
Sure, you don't care about any of them. Right.
I care about the Braves. Vizcaino, not pitching well right now.
No, not at all.
And he has, 1-4 now? He's in his last 10 appearances. I think he has as many losses as saves. Now, granted, they've been losing a lot more than they've been winning. And so it's not like there's been a ton of save opportunities. So believe me, I understand the full context of this. But over the last 10 days, Vizcaino has pitched 7 times. 7 appearances in 10 days, and suddenly his ERA has gone up by a full run in those 10 days. If you look from, I think it was June 21st through July 1st, and then they had like 5 days between appearances, and then he pitched and lost yesterday. But between June 21st and July 1st, 10 days, he made 7 appearances. And in that time, his ERA, and again, I swear, the context, I get it. He only pitches so many innings, so he gives up 2 or 3 runs, and the ERA skyrockets. It's not supposed to happen that way for a closer, especially with nasty stuff like that. He really should be sitting the ceiling like 2.1, 2.2. And it's not unusual at all to have your closer down sub-2. It really isn't. So Vizcaino, I was looking at him and his usage and the way Schnitker brings him in. He let him pitch 30 pitches in a loss, all right? And he's your closer, and you were already losing when you brought him in. Cervenka, 38 appearances, 26 innings. Withrow, 29 appearances, 23 innings. Agando, who made the All-Star team as a starting pitcher. He can handle things a little bit. 36 appearances, 32 innings pitched. So this is not on Snitker at this point. This is not on Freddie Gonzalez anymore. This is on the front office. You have personally hired people and put them in charge of multi-million dollar assets, which is what Vizcaino is. He's a multi-million dollar asset, just like Venters was, just like O'Flaherty was, just like all these guys. And you sit quietly while those individuals that you picked damage those assets. This is on Hart and Copy. And if we're getting the same results this time next year, then it's clear that whoever is in charge in the front office is seriously failing.
Can I give you my numbers now?
Are you going to tell me about the Tigers and the White Sox?
No. I'm going to tell you about the Braves.
Okay.
All right. So you would say last year, because that's been part of the argument against them, is the amount of, and I want to get this straight too, the amount of pitchers that are used or amount of innings that the bullpen's having to throw.
I don't care about the innings. I care about the appearances, and I care about the fact that you use so many pitchers on so many nights. Do you know, and be honest, did you know that we played a game with 10 relief pitchers on the roster? We played one game where the Braves had 10 relief pitchers on the roster. Now, the normal has been 8. Isn't that a problem?
Okay, so I just want to make sure that it's clear as to what your issue is. It's all about appearances, okay?
Yes.
The amount of times they're having to be used. So let me just give you a little bit of a background of what I looked into. So last year, the Braves, because of their issues with their starting pitching and how many pitchers they had to use, they ended up being, as far as the amount of innings their bullpen threw, they were 16th in the league. So there were 14 other teams that had to throw more innings out of their bullpen. Here's where you point out what you point out. Last year, though, they had the 26th most amount of pitchers used over the course of their bullpen innings. You know, the amount of guys who had to get in there and throw the baseball.
What do you mean? Explain that. Like number of relief pitchers used?
The number
used?
Of relief pitchers. When you get upset over, here's 4 outs, but we use 5 guys to do it, they were 26th in the league as far as the amount of bullpen pitchers
used. So there were 25 teams that used more?
No. Take it back.
There were three teams that you're four teams that use more.
Now you like Joe Maddon, correct?
He wins. He's a good manager.
He was 28th last year. You like Bruce Bochy?
He's won three titles.
He was 29th last year, 30th in the league last year as far as using the most amount of pitchers out of the bullpen were the Colorado Rockies, and that makes some sense. This year, the Braves have used the most. They're number one in the league. They've used more bullpen arms than anybody in the league. But here's where I draw the big line. The Braves, when you take a look at the difference between where they're at, where they're using so many pitchers, and where the best team is in baseball, Chuck, it's about $20 million. The Braves are spending about $5.4 million, two and a half of which is on Jim Johnson, in their bullpen. The Yankees, who are number one, who have the fewest amount of pitchers to get people out, because it's Andrew Miller, it's Aroldis Chapman, and it's Church. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
They're spending $24 million on their bullpen. On their bullpen. Just that.
Okay, but
I'm just saying, if you're upset about
it. So you pay the
it.
Closer, but you can get the seventh inning guy, eighth inning guy, whatever. You can get them for $3.5-4 million a year.
But that's the thing. You are upset over the usage of a pitcher to face one particular player.
Yeah, bring in Ian Kroll, and he throws four pitches.
And he's a $500,000 player facing a $15 million player. The Yankees are marching out a $12 million setup man to face a $12 million guy. It's talent on talent.
And then bringing in a closer, Chapman getting paid as well. I understand that. But I want to be real clear. I don't care about the Yankees. There's a better way to do it. And because I'm a Braves fan, regardless of what's going on in 29 other cities, I want my team to be better. And the thing is, this one ain't hard. How you teach Freddie Freeman to be a better hitter, I don't know. How you teach Jace Peterson to be a better hitter, I don't know. I got this one figured out.
You do know. You know exactly. How does this team improve at the corner outfield position next year?
Well, you could spend money.
Thank you. That's exactly
but I'm
it.
Saying,
but you're upset over the performance of guys that aren't making any money. There's allocations to that group.
I don't know how to coach Jace Peterson to be a better hitter. I know how to get a better second baseman, pay Robinson Cano $24 million.
Exactly. And that's your answer.
And, you know, negotiate with, was it, Roc Nation?
That's your answer,
okay,
though.
But we have Jace Peterson, not Robinson Cano. So I don't know how to, I don't know the technique. I don't know the coaching points. I know what to do with the bullpen. Don't bring in Ian Kroll for four pitches and then bring in somebody else and then bring in somebody else to the point where you use the next day's starter. They brought in, who was it? Was it Casey Kelly or Ryan Weber that started on a Sunday?
They also had the situation earlier this year where they brought Whistler in to close.
Absolutely. They had a situation about a month ago where it was either Kelly or Weber had pitched on Sunday, and then Snitker went through every one of his relievers in like two and two-thirds innings. And so we went to extra innings, so on like a Wednesday, 2 days rest. I think it was Casey Kelly came in and he threw almost as many pitches in relief as he did in his start 2 days earlier because Snitker so badly mismanaged the bullpen.
Just to point it out and to wrap it up, for 2016, the Braves have used the most amount of relievers. They've had the most amount of appearances. 29 is the Dodgers, 28 is the San Francisco Giants, who have more money invested, yet they continue to do it.
Who
that
was it?
Same
they had? They had Lopez, Casilla, and Brian Wilson, right? They had three closers on those on their first title team.
On those, and that was when they would then have the who's the little guy, Hoyt, that throws really hard, but
Billy Wagner?
No.
He's the little guy that throws hard.
He's a little guy who throws the sliders and cutters.
They had Casillas, Lopez.
Oh, Romo, there you go. Yeah.
And Romo, the other. They've had four closer quality relievers, and I mean like short list guys, over the past six seasons. Oh, by the way, I just picked up, this is my first year teaching, 1992.
First year teaching ID. You look the exact same.
I look exactly the same as I did.
Exactly the same. You look like you're ready to bench press 400 pounds and throw somebody through a plate glass window if they look at you funny.
My first year teaching, this kid named Kyle Stewart.
Still remember.
Hey, can I come out? Can I talk to you outside in the hall just for a second? I almost lost my job like 2 minutes in to my career because I didn't know. You know, they always say you learn like over 4 years, you learn like 10% of what you need, and then you do an internship and you learn another 10% in like 2 months.
Sure.
My first year of teaching, I learned the other 80%. I almost lost my job because I got so angry at this kid. And he was just acting the fool like I acted for 12 years in school.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's my – so on my Twitter account. There you go.
So it's out there. All right, I want to make the case for one more thing before we hit break here. I have heard constantly from people that say, oh, no, the home and road splits are too awkward, or, oh, he's a butcher at shortstop. See who made the All-Star team for the Texas Rangers? It's Ian Desmond.
1 year, $8
million? 1 year, $8 million. This is what his numbers are playing out in center field. And, oh, by the way, if you were just to take...
Oh, hang on. Is he playing center or left?
Center field. He's their everyday starter in center field for the Rangers.
And he made like 75 errors last year for the Nats.
And he's been excellent for them as an athletic 6'3 center fielder who has pop. Chuck, he's batting .320 with 15 bombs and 54 RBIs. Even his road splits, which is everyone... Oh, he's not a good hitter on the road. You hit him out of Arlington, it's not going to work out well. Would you take on this team 271, 7, and 23? That's what he's been on the road. He's been a 271 hitter with 7 homers and 23 RBIs just on
through
the
half
road.
A season?
Through half a season. That, I mean, this screams.
He would be batting cleanup for the Braves.
He is the ideal.
With either Freddie in front or behind.
Two-hole hitter. That right-handed stick with pop who can run and play defense. To me, for everyone who gets all fired up about, hey, what if Cespedes, you know, opts out of his contract? Cespedes is looking for $25 million. You might be able to get Ian Desmond at 31 years old anywhere, you know, 15 to 18, if you're fortunate.
Ian Desmond, if you don't know this, going into the 2015 season, he was coming off a really strong year. And understand, he was playing shortstop.
Shortstop for the Nats.
He hit .255 with 24 bombs as a shortstop, and it wasn't just a one-year thing. 2 years before, .292 with 25 home runs, then .280 with 20 home runs, and .255 with 24 home runs. And they offered him a $107 million contract, and he turned it down. It was 7 years and $107 million, and he says, I will turn that down. I'll bet on myself, and I bet you for 7 years I can get probably $130, $135 million. He didn't get a contract offer from the Nats following the season, and he had to latch on with Texas 1 year, $8 million. Now, he's going to get some of the comeback this coming offseason because he is a just flat-out free agent. He can walk, he can leave.
He's one of the best outfielders you'll have on the market. If not the best outfielder, Cespedes.
I would feel better with him on the corner, but whatever.
Well, that's fine.
Because he's going to be 31 next year.
You know what? You sign him and he plays left field. Or he plays right field. Whichever one. But you then have a legitimate outfielder who can go out. And again, if he takes a step back, him taking a step back is 275 and 20.
Okay, so he turns 31 in 2 months.
In 2 months. He'll be on the market at 31 years old. You'll get him for the first... three months of the season.
This will be a 5 year contract.
I would love 4 and 60, 4 and 70, but
he'll take that?
It probably is going to take 5 because of what he's doing and how well he's playing. Remember, the Rangers have a player in Lewis Brinson who they believe will be their next starting center fielder. If not, Delino DeShields could possibly get that job back. They're not going to spend that money on him. They got their gold mine. They got him for $8 million, and he's an all-star.
Delino DeShields is like 52.
No, Delino DeShields Jr.
Oh, Jr.
You remember the former Astro guy starter last year. So that's my case, though, for him. I'd love him to be here playing one of the corners.
I don't mind old dudes in the infield, especially on the corners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like old dudes in the outfield. And by the time Ian Desmond becomes an old dude, hopefully the National League will have the DH. And if you just hand him a bat. See, I don't think Ian Desmond, honestly, I think he's pretty shameless. I don't think it's one of those things that... you know, like you tell some players, you're going to be a DH. I'm not a DH. I belong in the, I'm a complete player.
I'm an everyday guy.
Ian Desmond, give me the stick. I know what I'm like. Raul Ibanez, give me a stick. I'll go up there and swing.
And you know what happens to shortstops as they get older, though? Sometimes they become third basemen. Another opportunity.
No. I don't want Ian Desmond.
Here.
I don't want Ian Desmond on the field. In fact, stop buying gloves. that deal you have with Rawlings.
I'm telling you, he's been very good defensively for them.
You're going to have to tell Mizuno, I can pose for a picture with your glove, but you can't actually get a shot of me in the field using the glove. By the time he hits 35, 36, the last couple years of that contract, National League's going to have the DH. So, Ian Desmond, here's your stick. Go hit your escalators and the contract. In fact, you know what I'll do? What do you think? 5 and 70. You think he would roll for that?
It's probably got to be more, but...
Whatever.
It's somewhere, but, yeah.
Here's the kicker. We're going to have an escalator in there where you can get a sixth year for $25 million if you have 25 home runs and whatever else. Just
whatever the incentive is.
That if he really does perform, there's another year for $25 million.
It would accelerate everything so much faster here with Sticks. And you know what? It bridges that gap between all the international players that aren't going to be here for 4 years.
Now, here's the one thing that you have to be careful about, though.
That he's awesome?
No, you don't have to be careful about that. Again, I want him with as little time in the field as possible. We don't know what SunTrust Park is going to be as a hitter's park or pitcher's park until they open that thing. I don't think Petco, they really thought that, hey, team batting average is going to be about 230 in this park because there's going to be a bunch of balls that land about 5 feet short of the warning tracks. I don't
think
they planned that. I don't think, like, you could look at Oakland Alameda and say, all right, there's 175 feet of foul ground here. We know that this is not a hitter's park. I don't think anybody looked. What was it, the new Yankee Stadium?
New Yankee Stadium where they got rid of so much foul territory there.
And there was they didn't realize there was a wind tunnel coming through the stadium that I think they actually put up a billboard or something to change it. When they first opened Yankee Stadium, they're like, oh, my God, balls are flying out of one part of this park that we didn't plan on because you don't know. You can do all the engineering models that you want. You don't know until you put your team out there and actually start playing ball.
I'm really curious to see how that all sets up. And you're right. If it comes across as, hey, that's going to be a good park for pitching, which typically that's what the Braves are looking to do, that's probably what they'll look to make it. And we'll see how that all plays out from there. All right, coming up next, Chuck Oliver is going to deliver to you the impossible scenario for the SEC championship game. That's coming up next. I'm Carlos Medina, subbing in for Matt Chernoff. He's Chuck Oliver. This is the Chuck and Chernoff Show on 680 The Fan.
If you want to...
It's the Chuck and Chernoff Show. Carlos Medina subbing in for one more day. Matt will be back tomorrow. The guys are actually going to be out at the Hooters in Kennesaw.
Yeah, we are.
Going to be talking a little fight game out there.
Ladies.
And, of course, you'll be doing your thing there, which is looking like very dapper. It's kind of your thing whenever we go out to any of these places. You dress down when we're in studio. But then as soon as we go out anywhere, it looks like you're ready to, you know, like give some sort of conference talk.
Well, Elvis had a policy.
Right.
And it was always take great care to look your best in public. So,
and you adhere to this policy.
Yeah, when you go out there. Right now, I look like I just walked out of the woods after I killed a bear with a knife.
Yeah, you're covered in just all sorts of grime and muck. But by tomorrow...
Absolutely, I'll be good.
You'll be good. You also have an impossible scenario for the SEC championship game.
Yeah, there's no way this has happened. Legion Field will outlast the Georgia Dome. Now...
That's crazy.
Again... I know all the different factors involved, but it took the Southeastern Conference exactly two games to realize that the SEC title game had outgrown Legion Field and, honestly, the city of Birmingham. So there is a bigger picture here. But remember why they left Birmingham after that second game was we got this shiny, sparkling new building that will be our home forever in Atlanta. And 25 years later... That stadium they left for, within, it's either 8 or 9 months, it's going to be a parking deck. As soon as this season is over, Georgia Dome getting dismantled, and that stadium next door that, have y'all been down there?
I was down there.
New Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Yeah, I was down there a few weekends back, and it's...
It's like walking into a crowded club. You got to, like, turn sideways.
You got to work your way in, yeah.
Between the Georgia Dome and new MBS. That's the reason they left Birmingham was because, well, we've got a brand new building. It's going to be our home forever. Now, Legion Field is paid for, and in Birmingham, honestly, that's all that matters. It was built in 1926. It opened 90 years ago, and there's not a lot of new in Birmingham. If you ever travel, see, here's the unknown thing about Birmingham is if you travel through downtown Birmingham, there are gorgeous, old, just beautiful architecture, just these office buildings downtown that you can get for like $40. They have been abandoned and 100% empty, and Birmingham has not had as much of a revitalization downtown as well. But I mean these grand, old, gorgeous buildings that for years nobody wanted to live in. Now, that's changing a little bit now. But in Birmingham, once it's built, They ain't replacing it. Have you ever been in the Birmingham, Jefferson County?
I've been to the Winfrey.
Exactly. I passed. Now, the Winfrey, they put a lot of money into that thing. Hyatt bought it.
You know what? Compared to when we went 6-7 years
Absolutely.
Ago, it's a different world.
Hyatt bought it, and they put a lot of money into it. But I told Mike's live to his face. I was like, I passed 10 hotels better than this on my way home every night. More equipped to host the SEC media days. But Legion Field's paid for. And they still have events there. They had Olympic soccer there. I think the Pope went there. Rolling Stones have played there. They've had various incarnations of pro football there. They still have high school championships there. And there was a time, remember, Atlanta didn't get pro sports till 66. There was a time that Legion Field was the biggest stadium in the entire Southeast because we didn't get Atlanta Fulton County until 66. We didn't get the Superdome until 75. The Gator Bowl was big, but we think, oh, the Gator Bowl, that's like 75,000. Not back in the 40s, it wasn't.
Not at that time.
And so Legion Field was the biggest stadium in the entire Southeast. That's why Auburn and Alabama both looked at it and said, everybody knows about Alabama playing at Legion Field. Auburn used to do that a bunch, too. It wasn't just the Iron Bowl. They would take some of their big games and move them to Legion Field because they could sell so many more tickets. But Birmingham's attitude, I mean, it eventually caught up with them. You know, Delta was trying to decide between Birmingham and Atlanta back, the 40s or whenever.
They made the right choice.
And Birmingham said, nah, we're not interested. And Delta's like, okay. We'll go to Atlanta. But Birmingham and Atlanta were basically on even footing if you go back 75 years. And Legion Field, again, simply because it's paid for and it'll still pass a code inspection. And that's all it takes in Birmingham. That field is going to wind up outlasting the Georgia Dome.
And that's the thing, too. It has grown the SEC enough to come to Atlanta, yet SEC Media Days, no interest in Atlanta as of now.
Yeah, well, that was part of the conversation.
I was like, every single year, Commissioner.
I asked Mike Slava about it. I was like, come on, it took you 2 years to realize you outgrew Legion Field. Why don't you bring these to Atlanta? And he looked, he said, it's 12 minutes from my office.
And that's why.
He's like, as long as I'm commissioner, we're going to stay here because it's 12 minutes from my office. It's easy on us.
Maybe down the road, Greg Sankey goes, you know what? There's convention centers and everything else down there. It'll make a lot more sense. We're growing. We got TV networks and everything else. We'll do it up big. Until then, next week, we'll be over in Hoover, Alabama, headed for Birmingham.
You ever been to Legion Field?
I've been through there.
Okay, here's what I suggest. Like, one night after we're done, you know, maybe even go out and have dinner and a few pops. Late at night, just drive by Legion Field.
We'll just go and roll, check it out.
Windows down, kind of stop, get out, maybe take a tour.
See if we can, like, lay down on the grass.
There's a Bear Bryant plaque out front. You need to read that. Take your picture with it.
It's Gangsta's Paradise? The Dangerous over there?
Off of Graymont?
Because, I mean, we're leaving the safety of Hoover, which
could be safer.
Oh, no,
you need to do this. Like probably after dinner one night, drive over to Legion Field.
I don't do dangerous stuff in Birmingham. That's the only thing. If you tell me it's safe, then I'll go.
It's not safe. Do you have the club?
I'm going to need more than that, apparently. I'm going to have to come armed.
I'm going to promise you, within two blocks of Legion Field, you can purchase just about anything you want. Drugs, weapons.
See, I always just think that was Lad Peebles.
A baby. You can get just about anything you're after. You need to drive by because we're going to be close enough.
I don't know if I want to be that close.
Just go
Legion
by.
Field. You know what? I will be very happy in the history of the place. I'm glad that you have shared this knowledge of it. I'm glad that it will outlast the Georgia Dome. I'm not going there at night.
You need to see Southside. You need to go see the Vulcan. Do you know what the Vulcan is?
No.
You need to see the Vulcan. You need to go see. You need to go see Legion Field. Need to go to Gabriel's for lesbian karaoke.
Well, that's happening. That's not a problem. We're doing that Wednesday night.
You know what the Vulcan is?
No.
You need to research that.
All right, I'll take a look at it. Maybe we'll get into it for later in the show. All right, there's a brand new form of old school thinking. And a troll like Brian Hoyt, I think he's really going to love it. That's coming up next right here on the Chuck and Chernoff Show, 680 The Fan.